Welcome to the Founders Odyssey podcast. The journey of a founder is unlike any other. The chips are seemingly stacked against you as an entrepreneur, but the burning desire to revolutionize the world and leave a lasting impact is stronger now than ever with many founders. Our podcast looks to inspire the next generation of entrepreneurs to pursue their next great idea, educate them on how to make this impossibility a reality, and create a supportive group of entrepreneurs who are there for their fellow founders. Our podcast features only the highest performing entrepreneurs who have bootstrapped, raised funds, built companies, sold companies, and have experienced life-altering challenges and some significant triumphs. Join us on this journey with the Founders Odyssey podcast and listen in on this upcoming episode. Hello, my name is Nathan Bird, founder of the Founders Odyssey, where we educate, inspire, and create a supportive community. Our guest today, inventor of the Step to Bed, focused entrepreneur, a father of two, a lifelong learner, and generous individual, Vince Baera, has seen his fair share of success and trials from inventing a product, taking it to market, and scaling his brand nationally. Tune in today and learn how he did it and the lessons he has learned throughout his Founders Odyssey. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I'm excited to get to know you a little bit better today, as well as introduce you to the Founders Odyssey here. And share with us, what does entrepreneurship mean to you?
Geez, you could go about 900 different ways with that answer. Entrepreneurship to me is having a vision and pursuing it before anybody else thinks it's reality, and the wherewithal and kind of gumption you need to have to do that, it's not easy. And as you start that, it's got its own challenges, but then inevitably, as you keep going, you just run into roadblock after roadblock after roadblock, right? It's not having cash, not having customers, not having a network. And you've got to just keep problem solving. And the best entrepreneurs are the ones who can solve the biggest problems, even when, you know, things look as dismal as they do. So what's it mean to me? Probably being a problem solver, having the guts to go out there and chase something that nobody else really can see. And it's funny how sometimes the people who are your biggest haters or the people who have the most doubt will be the ones that stick with you. And I vividly remember somebody early in my day saying, "You'll never make any money with that." And boy, that comment has been like ingrained in me, because I'm not doing it for him, but I was like, I'm going to prove you wrong. I'm going to go for it and I'm going to do what I can to get there. And so, entrepreneurship, it's not for the faint of heart, but it can be quite fulfilling too, once you start to accomplish some of the tasks you set out for.
Well, that's one thing I've noticed about you over the course of many years since we met in San Diego, that your persistence to overcome obstacles has been the number one thing that I've seen over many years. And obstacles, everybody's got them, and you're either going through one or you're about to join into one soon. So share with us how you approach obstacles in your life in regards to, say, the business that you developed.
One of the biggest lessons, I started about a year ago really adopting this mindset, is this: don't worry about anything you haven't had the chance to solve yet. Think about that, because how often are we faced with something where somebody says, "Hey, bad news, I'm not going to be able to make the delivery," or "I'm not going to be able to whatever," right? The immediate first response is to like worry about it and be like, "What am I going to do? How am I going to solve this?" What I've started to condition myself with, because you're faced with so many obstacles and challenges, is don't worry about it. Don't stress over it until I've at least had the chance to talk and try to find a solution. Because how often is it that you end up calling the person, you end up thinking, "Well, what could I do?" You come up with an idea or two, you figure it out, you pitch it, you know, you call, you know, "How about this? How about that? Could you come earlier? Could you come later?" Right? Whatever it is. "Oh, well, I could do that." Okay, well, no crisis then, right? And it's not really crisis averted. It's just you've got to navigate that. And what I found is that so often I would get excited, a little stressed, like, oh my gosh, something else is happening, right? It's about to go wrong. But it only really took like one call for me to figure out a solution. And then I've worried essentially for nothing. So I really try to attack problems as if, look, let me at least try and solve it first. And if I can't solve it, yeah, I might get a little worried. I might start to call advisors, things like that. But I think we all naturally have a tendency to think that the thing that's in our way is going to bring the house down. And in actuality, it's just a light breeze outside, right? It's not going to blow the house down. And that's one of the things that, you know, as I approach obstacles, I keep in mind, because the small ones are just as scary as the big ones. And, you know, you want to always present yourself the right way. Everything's about the brand. Everything wants to, like, you know, come out the right way, right? And even the small stuff makes you feel like you're not going to accomplish that. So, yeah, man, it's tough, because almost every day you are faced with things that are going to force you to grow and force you to be creative and think through, you know, how you can solve it without, you know, adapting or changing your plan too much.
That's a wonderful viewpoint. I'm glad that you shared that with us today. What about some of the obstacles that you faced as a young kid? Because I know that, man, shoot, this had to be something that started at a young age, and now you have, you know, you've certainly been able to translate it into business. So share with us a little bit about the Vince as a younger kid and some of the obstacles that you face that has really created you to be the person you are today.
I grew up in a family where I was blessed to have amazing parents, and we were not well off. We were middle class, maybe slightly lower middle class, because I had five siblings. My dad worked two jobs and I'd see him on the weekends. And my mom and grandpa would come help raise us. And my parents always set a great example of just being extremely hard workers. And so, you know, I think one of the things that really pushes me still to this day is remembering that we didn't have a whole heck of a lot. I mean, I grew up wearing yard sale clothes pretty much my whole childhood. You know, there was times where I was getting the 10-cent lunch at school because the income, you know, based off whatever equation they had. And I didn't really like get made fun of or things like that, but because most people didn't know, but like internally, I was like, I don't want to be poor. Like, I want to work my butt off to get ahead. And people don't really know that about me too much, because it just doesn't come up. I don't go out of my way to share it, but you know, there's always obstacles. I mean, I can remember waking up because, you know, as we moved and we had six kids, like the kids were getting put to work, right? You know, is everybody's going out in the driveway to help do this, do that. And I can just remember working long hours. And I can remember, you know, the van that we had was this old crappy van, and it would break down. And I'd always say, Dad, why don't you just buy a nicer van? So that way you don't have to always keep fixing it. And he's like, you don't understand. We don't have that kind of money. And so that work ethic, I think, has pushed me over the years to do more, become more, and try to put myself. And now I have two young kids in a position where they're not going to have the same obstacles that I had, but they are going to see that work ethic that I had, right? And that's going to come through, and I'm going to push them the same way that I was pushed, with no handouts and saying, you know, here's what you got to do it. And my hope is that I can take those lessons that I've learned and infuse them into those kids, so that way they've got their own takeaways, right? And they can build off of what I've started, which I think most parents want, right? Is just to give their kids a better opportunity than themselves. So honestly, it was probably just coming up with not a whole lot and feeling like I didn't want that life. I didn't want to be in the median average. I didn't want to have to worry about the gas price going up to $6 a gallon, and how the heck am I going to drive to work, and somebody else is going to decide for me how much the value is that I'm providing. What's the pay going to be for me? I just wanted to own those things. And you know, I'm not all the way there yet. I've got bigger goals than what I've accomplished thus far. But I think for me, those are the things that have driven me over the years.
Parts of your story I certainly resonate with. And thank you for sharing that. what came to mind when you were talking about that was a growth as opposed to a fixed mindset, and as well as words that are used in specific families that will take somebody down a path that they may or may not go. So could you share a little bit about verbiage and about how words can take you either to the next level or it can draw you down?
Well, Tony Robbins has a saying where he says the quality of your life comes down to the quality of your communication. And that starts with yourself. And it's the same way that, you know, they all teach that when you see something, you say, well, I can't afford that versus how can I afford that, right? It's just a simple shift that creates that different road or different path that you go down. So I think growing up, I was fortunate enough to have good parents who say, you can do it, you know, how are you going to do it? How are you going to find a way, right? And push me that way. But, you know, self-talk is so important and self-belief is so important. And I realize as I've gotten older that so many people don't grow up with somebody telling them you can do that. And so it's really on you to make the shift and to decide, right? It comes down to a decision that you're going to get better every single day, just a tiny bit. You're going to invest a little bit into yourself because knowledge is power. It sounds cheesy and all, but the more you know, the more confident you get. And I use the equation all the time, you know, reading one book a month. And I'm not the most voracious reader ever, but I usually set a goal for, say, around 15 books a year, like physical books that I actually read. Audible and these other programs are different because you can consume them so quick. So it's a little higher than 15. But I always say to myself that if every year you picked out 2-3 topics that you really liked and you invested and read 15 books, the guy down the street, most of them aren't reading. He who cannot read has no advantage over the person who does not read. Meaning, if you don't pick up a book and continue your own path and go down that journey of I just personally want to get better, you actually have no advantage over the person who's illiterate. So if every year you're reading 12 or 15 books more than your competitor, compound that over 2, 3, 5, 10, 20 years, and you're going to be a hell of a lot different place than you are when you started. And so it comes down to a mindset. It comes down to being driven and your belief, and you build that through knowledge. You build that through, you know, at bats, right? Is you don't win or lose, you win or you learn. And all those things compound over time, the more you just keep doing it and doing it and doing it and taking those swings of the bat.
I love that philosophy. And really, it's a one-step approach with everything that you do, one-step approach. And then also there's a great book out there by Benjamin Hardy called The Gap and the Gain. So you're always constantly thinking about what you're gaining as opposed to the how far away you are from whatever goal that you have set for yourself. So you've got a lot of goals in your life at this moment, and it's been set up by some successes that you have had. So share with us some of these slight successes that you've had with the step to bed, which is something that we'll touch on here a little bit later, but share with us a little bit about the step to bed.
Well, my background's that of an ICU nurse. I didn't go to business school. I don't have entrepreneurs as parents who've been teaching me this stuff. It was all self-taught. And what happened was I started, you know, I'm taking care of seniors every day at work doing ICU nursing. And then I saw my own grandparents fall getting in and out of bed. And I started to think, well, maybe there's a better way, right, that we can shorten the distance and like do all these things, right? So I came out, started looking at what was there, came out with an idea, developed the product. And mind you, I could replicate what I did over those first, say, 4 years in probably 6 months now, which I do when I develop new products, and I'm still doing. But that first time took like a good 4 years of attempting it, not really knowing where to go, what to read, what to do, what's the process. And so, you know, I've started to teach that actually in my own e-learning program. But Long story short is, you know, all those things was first, let's get a prototype, then let's get it to the market, let's try a whole sales avenue. That didn't work. Let's pivot, let's try other things. And so I think one of the early successes was like getting the product built, getting some patents going as far as filed. They took 2 years to start to come in. I now have 6 issued patents domestically. I have numerous international, China, UK, Australia, Canada, you know, things like that. So first getting the product, getting some patents, right? Give me a little more confidence, then going live with the product. And then there was a certain point where, it's so funny looking back, there was a certain point where we were doing, I remember starting and I thought, if I could sell 3 a day, I'd be killing it, man. That'd be like $600 in sales a day. I was pricing the unit at $199, and we start to get one every day, every few days. Then we'd end up getting 2, and then we got to 3, and it was like, man, this is taking off. But what happened was we were pricing the product too high, right? I didn't quite understand the market well enough, and I didn't want to believe that that I was wrong, right? I wanted to believe that people were going to pay this because I thought they would want to, right? And when we lowered the price to a better price for the market, we saw sales start to grow. And I vividly remember one, we were doing around like maybe 15 or 16K a month. And I remember thinking, this thing is taking off. Like, it won't be long till I'm a millionaire, right? And I remember that being a very fun time in the business. Not that today is not fun, but we're doing significantly more. And I just remember feeling like, wow, this is really working. Like I'm getting it right. I'm progressing. We're coming along. And so honestly, just seeing some success is kind of that underlying theme, is like believing in it, attempting it, getting it wrong most times, right? Most times you're going to try something, you're going to get it wrong the first time, the first few times. Just trying it again, right? Trying different prices, trying different approaches, trying different sales channels. And then finally, when you get it, it's such a feeling of gratification, even though in your mind, you know, it took way longer. And now you take all those learnings, right? All those readings, all those seminars, all those things. And now you can replicate the same thing that took years in months. And it's a pretty gratifying feeling. So yeah, lots of ups and downs, but certainly some wins there that, looking back, really bring a lot of joy.
You know, and that's what business should be about, of course, right? You've got joy that comes along with it. You've got sorrows. You've got trials that you're continually going through. And, you know, at this moment, Step to Bed is looking quite good. So share with me, though, prior to our conversation, you were talking about how you built this while also working a job. So I think some founders out there haven't really gone the route of venture capital and you know, raising funds or having their own funds. So talk to the bootstrap founder out there who has an idea and they've got to start from there.
So when I started, it was originally called Step to Bed. That was the product. We were a one-trick pony. And over time, we morphed to a brand of Step to Health, right? The whole thing, right? Anything. And we still specialize in mobility products for seniors, but we also offer thousands and thousands of our products on our site. But I started all this and put every single penny I had into it, and I didn't have any money, but I was able to put about 25K into the first year or so to just get the bare bones started. And at the time I had a job and I wasn't making very much money. And so I knew that I didn't have any money left in the bank. And so I couldn't quit my day job. And what it led to is me finding more efficiencies and trying to just work my butt off. I remember driving up where work would start at 7. I'd be there at 5:45 and I'd get a good hour, 15 minutes before anybody else in the office would get there so I could do my thing. Lunches, doing my thing. After work, doing my thing. My job changed over time and I leveled up and am in a much better place now, but I grew the business since we launched in July of 2018. We're closing in on 4 years. I grew the business 100% part-time. And what I did is over time is I started to hire people to do a lot of the blocking and tackling, the day-to-day operations. But, you know, the first person I hired didn't work out. The second person didn't work out. It took lots of attempts, right? The same thing that rings true in so many other facets. And so long story short, we're closing in this year. We'll pass the $10 million in sales mark. So as a business, still relatively small, but if you tell somebody you have a side hustle that has sold over $10 million in the last 4 years, you'll have their attention, right? It's not easy to do. But at the same time, I couldn't afford to not work. I was starting, I was dating my now wife, and you know, I wanted to have a date night occasionally. I live in San Diego, want to buy a home, not exactly a cheap place to live. So I couldn't just quit, because I knew that if I was going to pay myself anywhere near what I thought my value was, that I would really be taking that cash away from the business. And when you have a business, it's like a child. Like, the business comes first. The child eats first. You're tired, doesn't matter. The child's not ready to sleep. You got to go make sure the child's ready to sleep, right? And that's what a business is, like your baby. And it always comes first. And I couldn't justify paying myself when I have taken some money from investors over time, when we hit a point where we needed cash. And luckily, I found some friends and family that would invest, because the whole process of pursuing VCs and all these people, it's really hard. It's really, really hard. And people nowadays, they see the headlines from the favorite people they follow, Business Insider, and this guy raised $20 million for whatever thing he's doing. Those stories are so far and few between that it will confuse you. It will mislead you if you just read the headlines, because you think everybody's out there raising cash. But you go try with your business idea to pitch somebody who has some cash, and you better be ready, because they will try and pick your stuff apart. And it's just one of those things that, like, I tell people all the time, like, you're not ready for an investor. You've got to go prove it yourself, and you've got to bootstrap it yourself. Because even if you want to take on money right now, A, you're not ready. But even if you did, you're going to have to give away so much of your business to even justify them participating, that by the time another few years passes, if you're successful, you'll be whittled down to so little equity that you're not going to have the same drive to grow it as you would if you bootstrapped it. So the point of my story is, you've got to do whatever it takes: breakfast, lunch, dinner, nights, weekends. I strongly encourage people to keep your day job, do it part-time, because I know there's a whole other side of the table that says, if you don't put all your chips in the basket, then you're not all in and you don't really believe in it and all that other crap. But to me, I feel like you've got to balance the risk, right? And you don't want to go bankrupt, I can tell you, because then you'll really have a hard time raising any money for the future, for any other thing you do. You won't be able to get a loan. You won't be able to buy a home. And you'll really be a hamster on a wheel spinning. So you got to just do whatever it takes, enlist friends, enlist families. And the beauty is, and Nathan, you can probably agree, once you learn all those tricks and stuff, but then you start to level up, you're going to start paying for some of this stuff, right? Because why would I do it if I can pay somebody who's an expert to do it? And so you start to pay for all those things, but then you realize, oh my gosh, they charge so much. Like, if I was back to doing it, I could probably do it for a quarter of what they were charging, right? And so there's always that struggle of when's the right time to hand things off to other people. But if you have your day job and you don't need to take that cash from the business, you can allow that cash to pay for other people to do the job. Then you, as an employee, can still manage the process, right? From a high level, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So that may have been a long-winded answer, but again, there's kind of a whole ethos around the approach that I believe in. And my situation and my approach was applicable for this scenario. There might be another scenario where it doesn't apply. It's not quite the same, right? Because maybe the idea is bigger. Maybe there's more at stake and it does require you to go full time. But again, it's just for me, that's what made the most sense.
Well, one thing I see about your specific road rate now is you've got some track traction and a track record of success. So now raising funds or having connections or doing things now for you is a little bit different, right? As opposed to 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you've put in the time and you're really taking your product company, which is a lot bigger now than just one product, like you said, and you've got a very good vision on how you can help people be healthier through products. So yeah, I see this next chapter being a lot different for you, but it for you as the founder out there, your business, you know, I would certainly take his advice. I suppose just depends on where you're at, I suppose. Right. But anyway, what are you excited about right now for the future? And how are you going to run to that future?
I think for me, what excites me the most is continuing to expand. You know, we're an online, you know, D2C products business. So Amazon's still our biggest partner, but we're now live on CVS.com. We're in the final stages of onboarding with some big names like Walgreens and Costco, and we're already on Lowe's and Wayfair and numerous others. So continuing to expand, continuing to get the brand out there. I mean, it's pretty gratifying when you type in the product or the business name and you can buy it everywhere. It's like, man, we are everywhere. And we're closing in some international deals, which will allow us to have distributors other places. And but again, everybody thinks like, and I thought too, is, hey, how do we grow faster? Go international, go big, right? And it takes a lot of self-awareness to pump the brakes on that, because it sounds good in theory, but had we tried earlier in our days, like, we're not even international with Amazon. We only ship to Canada and Mexico through their remote fulfillment program. But yeah, we've explored what it takes to ship inventory to the UK and distribute all across Europe or to Australia. You know, we've put the pieces in place, but you've got to have that self-awareness to know when's the right time, and you've got to take your ego out of it. Because of course I wanted to, you know, be loud and proud going, hey, you know, say, look, we're selling and it's all over the world and we're making so much money and all that, but we wouldn't be making money. We'd probably be losing money, because it's hard when you launch in a market, and the more sophisticated you get, the more you understand and you learn over your own trials and tribulations. But honestly, reading and learning from other people who've done it, you can learn to avoid some of those potholes. And so I am excited about the international opportunities in front of us. I am excited about some of our new vendors, but I also have the self-awareness to say no when an opportunity looks good. And I'll give you even some further context is, we had the opportunity with CVS and Walgreens to do an in-store test. Now, to go into retail is in most people's mind the right move, because, wow, they've got 9,000 locations each. But the costs and the margins and the fees and the stuff that goes into retail, I'm not an expert at. I don't know how to manage it. So I've got to be self-aware enough to say, thanks for the opportunity. Love to keep the door open and just let's see how we do online first. And we'll see if maybe down the road it's the right fit. But again, I had to say no to an opportunity because I'm scared to death that it will bankrupt us. And even if the amount that we have, we're still a small company. Like, in the big grand scheme of things, like, if we disappeared tomorrow, probably nobody would notice. You know, there'd be another product that's somewhat similar that would start to grow more, right? So even though you want to take on the world and be, you know, on the next cover of every magazine, you've got to just have the patience and self-awareness to take it slow, right? And know who you are, know what you have, and stay in your lane.
That's valuable. I mean, I know a lot of founders, and I'm even myself included, have gotten excited about specific things, right? And you just run towards it like, you know, crazy. And to be self-aware, and I'm sure you've probably had times too where you maybe had made a rash decision and it was, you later had to pick up some of the pieces, right? Based on ambition, but we learn and we become more wise after those decisions are made. And, you know, that's something that I've seen from you. But I just want to say thank you so much for coming on the Founders Odyssey podcast today. To end it out, how do we find you? And also, number two, what do you need from the Founders Odyssey family here?
Pretty easy to find. Vince Baiera, last name spelled B-A-I-E-R-A. If you type it in, you'll find me somewhere, either LinkedIn. I do a lot on, I'm on, you know, Facebook, Instagram, stuff like that. So you can find that. You can find our business at Step 2 Health. That's the number two, step2health.com, and see some of the work that we're doing there. But in regards to what I need, I always need to work with people who care and who can provide a great product at a fair price. Whether it's video editing, whether it's SEO, whether it's a million other things where you help people and you provide outstanding service and are easy to work with at a fair price, you know, you come to learn over the years that you're willing to pay for somebody if they'll do a damn good job. And anybody out there who thinks that they may want to talk with us about collaborating or a partnership, I'm always happy to explore those. And again, it's sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not the right fit. But again, like working with people who just care and want to do a good job. So if you're somebody like that and want to reach out, love to connect with you, nothing more, maybe just point you in the right direction or make a referral. I always like to try to do that with folks as well. So maybe there's something that I can do for you, somebody in my network that maybe is interesting for you to meet with. And if I can, happy to help.
Awesome. Well, if you guys liked today's episode, feel free to subscribe. We're on YouTube as well as Spotify and also thefoundersodyssey.com. Thank you, Vince.
Thanks.